Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings. From premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts, start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Searching for just the right job? Whether you're looking for full-time, part-time, or seasonal work, you can get started today. Amazon Jobs offer the whole package, with great pay and flexible shifts that allow you to choose when and how much you work. Find a warehouse close to home and discover the role that works for you. To get your application started for an hourly job, go to amazon.com/apply. That's amazon.com/apply. Amazon is proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
You're back with Brew with a Blue. It's the final one of the week. I hope you've enjoyed these little segments here on our YouTube channel this week. You haven't seen the others, go back and watch them. They're really good. Before you do that, stay to watch this one because I've got Si Magna here. Si, who's got his a fantastic Star Wars mug there. He's got a great Everton shirt on. Good stuff. R2-D2, isn't it? Yeah, wonderful, yeah.
R2-D2, yeah, or RTT2, as I like to call them.
Have you been watching them all on Disney Plus? Have you been binging?
I only set up Disney Plus the other day, so I haven't had a chance to sit down with the Star Wars stuff. But my little lad's been getting into the Avengers, and he's like Avengers obsessed now. Favorite Ant-Man, apparently. I don't know where that's come from, but the important thing is that he likes it.
Actually, I've never really been like massive into like the comic books and stuff like that, and like Avengers stuff and the Marvel stuff. But I feel like now is probably a good time to start all that.
Yeah, well, I mean, as good a time as any. You're not going to do anything else on lockdown, so you might as well binge watch them.
No, that's fair enough. I've got Disney Plus there, but I've not actually checked it out yet. Have you been proper like delving into it and spending your time on it and stuff? Because a lot of people.
Loads of people were saying, oh, it's amazing, but I've had a quick look, and I wasn't too knocked off my feet by the stuff on there, but I don't think I've been looking properly, so I've been told that, I've seen an advert where there's, like, 5,000 films or something ridiculous like that, and there was, like, there's no way I've scrolled through 5,000 films, so I need to have a proper look, but it's good, because they've got all the 20th Century Fox stuff on there, haven't they, as well, so... The stuff that you wouldn't expect to be on there, that's there. So it should be good.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out over the weekend, get stuck into it. Going to give that virtual Grand National a go as well. I think there's going to be a bit of a few sweepstakes in our family group chat and all that sort of thing. Yeah, I suppose it's good, isn't it, to keep everyone's spirits up over the weekend in that regard. But obviously, we've not spoken for a while. How are you finding the lockdown and everything like that? Are you coping all right?
Yeah, still doing. Obviously working from home, working for the NHS, so working from home quite a bit. I think I've been going into the office like once a week when I've needed to. But it's good, keeping on top of things, keeping busy. Talking before, got caught the other day as well, so that keeps sort of on your breaks and stuff like that, keeps you occupied. So yeah, it's not too bad. The stuff that's pissing me off is like going to the shops and stuff. Having to queue up around car parks and stuff like that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a bit like we've got like a local Tesco there, and whenever I've been out to do like me run and stuff like that, it's like it's only like a little smaller one, but they've got like social distancing spaces and there's people like queuing up around the outside. And I mean, thankfully for people like yourself, there's those extra hours in the morning where you can go in and get your shopping before the general store opens, if you will, and that sort of stuff for NHS workers, which is ideal. But
it's, yeah, I was a bit I'm a bit sceptical on that, to be honest. I went when Tesco announced it, like, last week, I went down for the Sunday one, and I've never seen it so busy before in my life. It was ridiculous. Really? Honestly, yeah, it was like that. It was called like a browse now between 9 and 10 or something like that before the tills opened. And I got down there about 20 past 9, and the queues for the tills were like, I'm talking about the big Tesco and Bits and Moss.
Yeah.
Like, the queues were right around the shop, and I was like, fuck this. I'm doing this again.
Yeah, it's when you said browsing out there, it made me think like people are in the shop and look around, but they can't actually buy anything. You just have a look at all the stuff that you could potentially.
All the trolleys were full and stuff, and it was mad. Yeah. And it's not meant to. I've never known all NHS staff must have been in that shop that one day.
Yeah, yeah. Like Chelsea was saying, the badges you've got are so valuable at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is obviously well deserved. As an NHS worker, did you take part in the applause last night, or did you just sort of sit and soak it all up?
I sit and soak it up, to be honest.
Fair enough, mate. Why not?
I appreciate like everyone's support and stuff. It's just I get a little bit cynical when it comes to stuff like that, because we had the chance to applaud the NHS staff back in December when we voted in. Went to the general election and people were applauding them. People were applauding the other lot. So, sort of come home to roost a little bit now. And I think there's going to be some very interesting conversations around how valuable the staff are and stuff like that after all this passes and everything settles down.
Well, do you think that actually will be the case? Because I've sort of been speaking about this with Chelsea and how she sort of feels as though. Obviously, now it's great that you're getting the adulation, you're getting the appreciation that you all deserve. I mean, amongst yourself, are those conversations happening where you're sort of saying, after this, we should get sort of, not the appreciation we deserve, because I don't think anyone really thinks like that, but maybe he appreciates the role we all do a little bit more, or just sort of get the sense that when this is all blown over and calmed down a little bit, the things will just go back to normal, and maybe for the want of a better phrase, be sort of taken for granted again.
I'm a trade union rep as well, so that's where it's important to keep that pressure on from the unions. And a couple of years ago, we did start pushing for wage increases and stuff like that, and we did win a deal, which on the face of it sounded good, but when you delve deeper, it doesn't. There's a lot of people that it doesn't benefit, and that sort of negotiation period that's up this year, so. The wage deal that we negotiated, that's up for renegotiation this year. So it's kind of like coming at a good time for us from a negotiation point of view. And that's where you've got to really strike while the iron's hot, really. And, as soon as things start to settle down, you need to go back. Everyone needs to be singing off the same hymn sheet. And if you appreciate the NHS, you've got to support that, when we're asking for, decent wages and stuff like that, because I'm where I am wage wise, I'm not too bad, but you get nurses who are, lower down the pecking order and the amount of responsibility that's on their shoulders, especially now. And you think, you deserve better, and you are better. The job that you do, you deserve better for it. And, it's not just the NHS. There's loads of people in the same boat as well, all across the world and across the country. And after the last 10 years of austerity, I think it's time we sort of reassess the situation. And now people are sort of beginning to realise who the key workers are, who the real key workers are, and those kind of people need to be. They need to get what they deserve, really.
Yeah. And just sort of, we'll stay on the series for you before we go on to talk about your kit and other things as well. Sort of what to talk about. So I was glad you were on, actually. Really happy you were on for this one when this news came up yesterday. In regards, I know you're passionate about this sort of stuff, and it's great that obviously the Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, yesterday said that he sort of spoke directly down the camera lens to Premier League footballers, encouraged them to take a pay cut in these times and help out staff at their clubs to sort of get by. And I think, it's a sentiment that I imagine a lot of people up and down the country would have been beating the chest at, sort of saying, yeah, of course they should be. Yeah, the money these people are on. And I'm sure that the footballers will ultimately you know, due to probably a combination of their own goodwill and a combination of public pressure, now will end up doing or sign up for a scheme that knocks the wages down. But I've seen some people today, in fairness, saying that, well, why should a lot of footballers have their wages knocked when you've got billionaire owners of football clubs? You've got bankers in the city who are earning just as much money as them. I mean, what were your thoughts on that yesterday when you heard that from the Health Secretary?
Pretty much like what you said. I think he's got an absolute cheek. It's dead easy to focus on, obviously, footballers and top-level elite footballers. They're probably the easiest people to look at because the wages are obscene, and I'll be the first to sort of admit that. I think you know, some of the wages that we're seeing, some of the people on it are crazy amounts. But it's easy to focus on that one group when you've got, you know, all kinds of, you know, over the last couple of weeks you've been seeing the likes of Virgin Airlines saying that they're going to need government bailouts, you know, when people like Richard Branson are shareholders. I know he's not a massive shareholder anymore, but, you know, these are the kind of people that are running the company who have their own private Caribbean islands. Philip Green came out yesterday and I think his Arcadia Group is going to need a bailout or something like that. And this is the guy that absolutely destroyed BHS's pension fund. I still think that's ongoing. These are the kind of individuals that you're dealing with. And they're the ones that should be, you know, that we should be focusing on and saying, hang on a second, you know, all these people that have got, you know, all their savings in the Cayman Islands and stuff like that. I mean, you remember that documentary that came out 2 or 3 years ago where, yeah, you know, it highlighted all this stuff? That's kind of gone under the radar since then. You know, after the whole furore of, you know, for the first couple of weeks after that Panorama documentary, and then ever since then, you know, no one's asked about, you know, some of these big conglomerates that pay minimum amounts of business tax. But, you know, let's focus on the footballers. And like I say, you know, the wages are obscene, and it is easy to look at those individuals in our community and point at them and say, you know, you should be taking a wage cut. I remember a couple of years ago, more than a couple of years ago now, it was I think it was when Leeds United were going under, and yeah, Mark Viduka was coming under from some particular pressure because he was one of the big earners at Leeds United, and people were saying, you know, he should be, you know, taking a wage cut to save the club and stuff like that. And, you know, one part of me agreed with that, absolutely. You know, when you've got a football club that's going into liquidation, and, you know, and you know, they were looking at, you know, the worst, Leeds. But then on the other hand, Mark Viduka came out and said, well, hang on a second, you entered into a contract, an agreement between myself and my employer, all legal, all above board, and I've sort of created a life, and I live within my means, within that, you know, within my wage. So my outgoings, you know, obviously they're bigger than like mine or yours, Matt, but like his outgoings, he was living within them. So you're asking him to take like a 20% cut, say you earned, you know, 80 grand a week or something like that, and you're asking him to take a 20% cut. I couldn't take a 20% cut out of my wages. Yeah. I know my wages is different from his, like I say, but it's when you think about it, and there's the principal side of things. Football clubs, the kind of money that the football clubs are making, especially Premier League ones, They shouldn't be in a position where, you know, 2 or 3 weeks down the line, they're having to knock off, you know, yeah, the staff and furlough the staff. They shouldn't be in that position full stop. They should be in a healthy position where, you know, they can still afford to pay the footballers the wages that they agreed to, and pay the staff the wages that they agreed to. Let's not forget some of these staff that we're talking about. It's only 2 or 3 years ago some of, not all of, the Premier League football clubs agreed to pay staff the living wage. Cool. So most of the staff are on low wages anyway. So when you think about it, and you think of these, the kind of owners that are involved, I think Newcastle, Mike Ashley, you know, comes to mind straight away. And he's one of the people that I'd stick in the Richard Branson, Philip Green category. You know, he's a disgrace.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult. It's, footballers are easy to focus on.
They're always held up like pariahs, aren't they, in circumstances like this? Like, whenever it's to do with the military and stuff like that, and you always get the, you get people sort of saying, well, pay soldiers footballers' wages and all that sort of thing. I think it's just because they are probably the most high-profile, you know, young multimillionaires, but well, certainly in this country, if not the world, aren't they? You know, you look at people, there are the lads between the ages of 18 and 30, typically, who are multimillionaires, and, you know, people see them on the pitch and see them, you know, indulging in histrionics sometimes, see them not pulling the weight sometimes, see them sulking sometimes. And I think because of that, they are just sort of put there as pariahs when it comes to situations like this.
Yeah. It's, like I say, it's just so easy to focus on, like, one group of people. And, you know, you're right, these people, you know, between 18 and 30, and most of them, like it's easy for me as, you know, as a 30-something person looking back into my 20s, but I wasn't, you know, I'd hate to think what I would have, you know, with 80 grand a week or something ridiculous like that, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Some of these people are still kids and they're multimillionaires. And I think there's a bit of perspective that we need to take when we think about who they are and you know, what they can offer and the kind of matureness that you're expecting from them. I mean, obviously you hope that they've got a strong circle around them that, you know, are supportive and give them good sage advice. But obviously there's a lot of players that, you know, don't hang around the right circles as well. But I think what you said at the beginning, they'll probably come together and have a collective agreement on you know, on wage cuts and stuff like that. It's I think they're not, people probably do them a bit of disservice. They're not daft. There's a lot of, you know, very people that are on the ball, so to speak, yeah. You know, in the footballing circle. So I think there'll be a lot of people that, you know, will be driving that particular agenda and putting across, you know, the right reasons for this, and you'd imagine that the majority will go for it. But like I say, it's they're an easy group to point the finger at. We should be looking at the reasons sort of why we're in the financial mess that, well, I say we, I mean the NHS is in the financial mess that it's in. You know, it's not as prepared as, you know, as it should be, really.
Yeah, and I think, you know, obviously the professed community and togetherness at this time, and maybe instead of pointing the finger at one select group of people, is probably not the way to go about this, and in general, yeah. It's a community. But I think you're right. It's, you know, people might be looking at individual players who are earning loads of money and that sort of stuff, saying, well, what are you doing? But I think it feels like one of them situations where footballers, certainly, maybe not as a group entirely, but certainly footballers at a certain club have all got to sort of make the same step on this. Because say if Richarlison came out tomorrow and said, you know, I'm giving 50% of my salary to, you know, the NHS or a certain charity or something that's going to help this situation, then people will be immediately pointing the fingers at other people. People will go, well, if he's doing that, well, why aren't you doing that? So yeah. I imagine clubs up and down the country, like you said, will come to a collective decision on that. I suppose we'll see what happens with it. On to your shirt, then. That's the second time this week, Si, that shirt's been picked.
Yeah.
Les Roberts wore it on Monday. It is an absolute banger, to be fair.
Yeah, I like it. It's probably the first one for a while that I've the first Everton shirt for a while that I've been like, I've really been, wow, that's boss that. I'm not a huge fan of the Umbro shirt, I'll be honest with you. It's, considering like that we've been with them for such a long time, and you know, over the years, it's probably well over 50% of the time I've been supporting Everton, you know, we've been sponsored by them. And I can only sort of, out of all of that time, I can only really think of, you know, a handful of shirts that I've really liked. The last one that comes to mind is probably, I think the one we wore around 2007, 2008, the home one, you know, with the little gold collar.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah. Makes you think of Arteta, that one.
Yeah, Pienaar.
Yeah. Was that the one we wore against Fiorentina?
Yes, I think it would be, yeah.
Yeah, that was good season. Yeah, it was a good season. Obviously, we're never to a heartbreaking ending, of course, yeah. In our style. But
wouldn't be Everton.
No, but we were saying to Les on Monday that I don't think we've actually won in that kit yet. But you're not the one who's cursed it, though, because you only bought it a couple of weeks ago, so we'll let you off.
Yeah, I got And you mail off Everton saying that all the kits are on offer, so I went a bit mad and bought the kids one as well.
Yeah. Anyone on the back?
No, no. Don't do that anymore.
Oh, brilliant stuff, brilliant stuff. Yeah, I've gone for a Guatemala one today, dug it out. I think, pretty sure it's fake. Bought it when we were over there in a year ago. Managed to get the home and away one for a decent price, but I'm pretty sure it's fake. But this is Umbro as well, so there you go. Royal blue, like the toffees after all.
That's the important thing, isn't it? Absolutely. That's a very similar kit that I used to play. So,
this one?
Probably like Pro Evo. Yeah. Like Pro Evo. Back in the day, and I used to create the kit very similar to that with like a white stripe down. And then Everton kit, like.
I used to love doing that on Pro Evo, making your own kit. I've got FIFA now, and like it's, you know, I think the most recent one's a bit rubbish, to be honest. I've always thought about going to Pro Evo, and that is one of the reasons why. Like, even now, as a 30-year-old man, you can guarantee I would sit there and design a new kit Everton every season.
Yeah. You put like 2 hours into the kit design, and then you sit back and you're like, no, I don't like that bit. Go back in and start from scratch again.
Yeah.
Perfectionist.
Absolutely. Imagine the uproar though if you did actually bring a home kit out like this with like a white sash on. People would be in the street with kits. Oh yeah, I reckon people would be fuming. Mm. It's a bit Birmingham. Do you not think?
Birmingham, yeah, a little bit.
All right, mate. Well, been a pleasure, lad. Really enjoyed chatting to you. Some serious issues, some not-so-serious issues. Thanks very much for taking the time out. Thanks for everybody who's watched these this week as well. Like I said at the start, if you haven't checked them out already, we've had Les, Kate, Mike and Adam Sutton on as well this week. We've got more guests lined up from Monday for these shows as well. On the Blue Room Extra, we have 3 shows out yesterday. We had Kickabout, Stats Pack. And what else do we have? My mind's just suddenly gone blank. We had 11s as well. Series 2 of 11s that was out yesterday. Got Mailbag later with Les Roberts, Dave Downey, and a couple of debutants as well from our Patreon service. And also tonight at 7 o'clock, we are teaming up with Hot Mike, where myself and Dave Downey are going to be talking you through the 200th Merseyside Derby. It's the Lee Carsley game. Fond memories of that one, Si?
Oh, yeah. Boss, yeah. Remember, yeah. I used to work in Woolies. I remember going in after the derby to go see all my red mates.
Yeah, I've seen loads of people saying that even though we're going to be watching that game back and stuff, and we know the results, we're still going to probably tune in, think I'm going to get beat. Such is the nature of derbies these days. But all the details of that are on our Twitter account. So effectively, what it is, you sign up to the app, you get it on your phone. Me and Dave will be doing a bit of a chat about the game as it goes on. We'll all sort of sync our YouTube channels up, and we can interact and chat about it and reminisce about a good game. So it should be interesting anyway. Do get over to our Twitter feed if you want to find more details out about that. But thanks again to Si, and we'll speak to you again here on Monday on the Blue Room.
When you need milk for Zoe and a cold brew for yourself, King Soopers delivery will get you just what you need in as little as 30 minutes. Open the King Soopers app and start your cart, whatever the cart. King Soopers, fresh for everyone. Delivery times not guaranteed. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
When you're a Boost member, you get free delivery, double fuel points, and lots more. Sign up at kingsoopers.com/boost.
Sports Social Podcast Network.